Okay, and we're coming back in to the third hour. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. PJ Barden is my name. I'm here today on this Saturday, 14th day of November, 2020. 14th, exactly a month to the 14th of December, which is the day that the Electoral College meet. Okay. By God, a lot of things have to happen before then. That's for sure. And as I say, we've played running two things really in parallel today, this election fraud and, well, two frauds, the fraud of COVID and the treatment of it. And again and again and again, I say, the pig ignorant, stupid moves by politicians of the lockdowns and the bought and paid for pimps of Big Pharma, who ended up in the position, surprise, surprise, of chief medical and chief scientific officers. And in Britain, we have the backup SAGE committee, all of them infected with money from just about all of them, 60% of them, from Big Pharma. And they're Johnson in this regard, everybody I know has some kind of blind spot or other. But and the more talented they are, they usually have one whopping blind spot. I wouldn't blame them for that. But maybe it's in their private life or maybe in work and professional matters. But Johnson is as blind as a bat. He can't see what's being done to him here by these scientific officers. But anyway, I think by Christmas anyway, the outpouring of aggro from the public will be just shocking, that enough information is leaking out despite the, again, compliant national media and gutless TV and radio stations spewing out the government line day in, day out, non-stop. But the story here, thousands of world's top scientists are finally speaking out against the lockdown. Let's pray it's not too little too late. Peter Andrews, an Irish science journalist, writing this. You say more than 7,000 top scientists and doctors have signed a declaration calling for politicians to reconsider their entire approach to COVID and to adopt a herd immunity strategy. Why didn't this happen 7 months ago? They're writing this in early October, in 9 months ago now. In the first few days, almost 3,000 medical and public health scientists, over 4,000 medical practitioners, and an astonishing 65,000 members of the public have added their names to a backlash against government state-sanctioned COVID restrictions. If you wish to sign, you can do so here. Okay. The article originates on Russia Today. The declaration was co-written by Professor Sunitra Gupta of the University of Oxford, whose level-minded and wise counsel on COVID I have been plugging for months. The other two authors are American, the illustrious Dr. J. Bakura and of Stanford, and Dr. Martin Kulldorff of Harvard. Hardly bug-eyed risk takers, although they may well be presented as such in the mainstream media. But despite the recent invitation to advise the UK Parliament, Gupta words have thus gone completely unfettered. In fact, it has been suggested that she and other ardent anti-establishment voters were brought in only as a ruse to placate the significant faction and of scientific community that have refused to blindly follow the science, following Big Pharma. If that was Boris and Co's plan, however, it has backfired because Gupta, this Professor Gupta who's telling the truth, and her colleagues are not giving up that easily. Make no mistake, this is no half-cooked social media petition that politicians have comfortably ignored, regardless of the number of signatures. This is an official document with the title The Great Barrington Declaration, after the town in Massachusetts where Gupta traveled to write it up. And there's another whole thing about Barrington. In arguments, its arguments will not be new to anyone familiar with the statement of Gupta and others of the lockdown. Current lockdown policies are producing devastating effects on short-term, long-term public health. It begins adding and waiting for a vaccine will cause irreparable damage. Instead, it calls for focused protection, essentially letting the healthy out as normal to develop herd immunity while cocooning the elderly. But herd immunity is wrong thinking, too much of the public and associated with it letting the virus rip. And in fear, well, I'll read that again. But herd immunity is wrong think to much of the public. Well, they're wrong about that. The public, they associated with letting the virus rip, and infer that it will involve a bovine culling of an entire demographic. There are two things to remember about this. First, the body of evidence strongly suggests that the virus has long since reached epidemic status pretty much everywhere, and people already have herd immunity anyway. Well, restricted version. Why else have COVID deaths essentially flattened ever since April peak? Yet it peaked in mid-April. Mid-April. Second, since there is not a scrap of evidence that any restrictions slow or stop the virus, haven't we been letting the virus rip? Anyway, it's called COVID-19 for a reason. It was spreading freely around the world well before Christmas last year. How slow do people think the virus is? The reason COVID deaths fell as quickly as they rose back in spring is because disease has all but ran its course. The Great Barrington Declaration, referred above, does not engage with this model of the virus. The only one I have seen that fits the facts. And I fear that it's not being adamant enough. It could alienate both sides. And Boris Johnson talking about the reset. That's the language of Big Pharma and Agenda 21. And they're saying between two stools, meaning we'll fall. For instance, the declaration lists a series of preventative measures that vulnerable people should use to avoid infection. Again, in my opinion, only a hazmat suit and full laboratory quarantine can protect a person from an epidemic respiratory virus. Nevertheless, Think Granny Brigade should be satisfied with this part. Establishment quacks are already being wheeled out to finger wag about the dangerous idea of herd immunity and also to throw about the newly coined phrase long COVID, forever, referring to lasting fatigue and other effects some people are claiming after surviving the virus. These commentators, along with moronic social media commentators, often describe herd immunity as genocidal. This hypocritical hyperbole was especially prevalent when Sweden was said to have been aiming for herd immunity. You may have noticed, though, that when the issue of mandatory vaccines comes up, herd immunity simply becomes very important, suddenly becomes very important. Of course, herd immunity is far from genocidal. In fact, as one Twitter user with a good memory pointed out, wasn't UK planned from the very beginning to about reaching it. When the history of this outbreak is written, one hopes that the Great Barrington Declaration will be an important moment when the tide turned away from lockdown evangelists and towards the interests of the common people. One thing is certain, it is not before time. Last line, the statements view the opinions expressed in this column. Okay. But that is correct, absolutely correct, of where we are. But the two tyrannies, America now has two mega tyrannies on it, the COVID lockdown and the swindling of the vote, which the left are delighted about. It's their, they believe in socialist tyranny. I mean, people are mentally deranged, the left. They really are deranged. But corona pandemic lockdowns worsen the debt mountain problem of America, the middle class, which is being deliberately crushed. Yeah. Well, they're getting the furlough money here, but people, standard bills are there all the time, but they're slowly leeching away the income of the middle class, and small business being wiped out en masse. But this article, Raman Tomey saying, corona pandemic lockdown makes the debt mountain worse. 43-year-old Alice C. Hopkins and her husband Ian Bustian earned a comfortable living in suburbs of New York City. The combined income was $175, covered the mortgage, two car leases, student loans, credit cards, and expenses of raising two daughters. But Hopkins works as a lawyer representing clients in foreclosure cases and personal injury suits dried up after coronavirus. For foreclosures and shut down courts, the courts shut down for coronavirus. Their savings are running out and their debt payments at $9,000 a month are starting to hurt. It's in an interview with the Wall Street Journal Hopkins expressed her frustration. She had a law degree and almost 20 years of practice under her belt, and yet she was unable to earn a living. Hopkins joins millions of other Americans who suddenly found themselves without a job during the coronavirus pandemic, etc., etc., etc. But they go into all details of their lives, etc. But there are thousands and thousands of stories like that in Britain and across the world. And the newspapers are running light on those stories. Again, all the journalists working from home, not only working in the newspaper offices and searching the internet and Google, are working from home now. They're not out and about amongst people. Again, this is the total, total destruction of journalism and information in so, so many ways. Just looking at the different pieces we're going to play here. They're very, very long pieces, but anyway, we'll move on anyway. I've no shortage of stories here, friends. I'm just trying to put them in a sequence of what is going on. And one of them from the Daily Mail, that is good. Peter Hitchens is commenting on it as well. We rely on Peter Hitchens, an outstanding guy. Data shows the average age of death from coronavirus is 82.4 years, writes David Rose, as he argues for anti-lockdown plan to shield only the most vulnerable. Correct. The average age of people who died from coronavirus 19 in England and Wales since the pandemic began is 82.4 years, the Daily Mail can reveal. That figure, computed from the Office of National Statistics data by experts at Oxford University, is significantly higher than the average age reached for people recorded as dying from all other causes, which is 81.5. Yes. Study by Oxford Centre of Evidence-Based Medicine, that's the thing you don't often hear in medicine, also suggests that fewer than 6 people per 1,000 who get coronavirus now are likely to die from it. Six people per 1,000. Whoa, shocking. Really low. The death rate now, well, that's good news, good news. The death rate, now known as the infection fatality ratio, or IFR, has plummeted since June, even allowing for big increases in testing. Yay. And Dr. Jason Oak, pictured, a senior statistician, Oxford, says local lockdowns don't work. They don't. And I've seen a lot of vulnerable people just become really more depressed and paranoid. But at least we have these lists of doctors, both in Texas, that who said they were getting 100% success rate with hydroxychloroquine. That's when you get the full outbreak of it, et cetera, et cetera. The infection doesn't matter, and the testing system is totally, totally haywire. As I said last week, I have here a copy, which anybody can get hold of, the patent taken out by the Rothschilds in 2015 on the COVID-19 testing kit. 5 years ago, were they preparing for this? Yes, they were. It's an appalling attack on society. It's an act of war. The figures also show that currently 40% of those who die from COVID are over 85, and a further 33% between 75 and 84. Okay, a quarter are suffering from advanced dementia. Barely 1% of those who die are under 44. The new figures to appear to provide support for the Great Barrington Declaration, which is referred to again, which has now been signed by nearly 15,000 leading scientists. The declaration, named after Massachusetts town where it was drawn up last weekend, urges governments to switch from blanket lockdown-style measures to focused protection. And again, not one bloody syllable from the medical profession or from government to take preventative medicine. Well, they don't need to be medicine. They can be zinc, vitamin C, one of which I take myself, iodine, and vitamin D with K2. But not one word of advice how to prevent it. Isolate, 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 incubate the disease and die. That's basically the attitude. It was a culling operation. This is what it is. Total culling operation. And according to the Barrington Declaration, as of last night, it had was signed by 4,800 doctors and 9,000 medical and public health scientists. According to the declaration, young people who are most unlikely to die should immediately be allowed to resume life as normal. And schools, all schools reopened totally. It argues that this would build a herd immunity, which in turn would protect the elderly and sick, who would be in isolation because there would be lower infection rates in the community. Dr. Jason Oak, a senior statistician at Oxford University, said it made sense that the age of those who died was so high. Since the start of the pandemic, it has been clear that the virus is most dangerous for the very elderly, only most dangerous. Statisticians favor using the median average figure, as the Daily Mail has used here, but the mean average numbers tell the same story. Given an average age of death from 80 years to 82, Dr. Oak said one reason the infection fatality ratio has fallen is that more young people are getting infected, but I don't think it is the only one. It's possible people who are getting infected are picking up lower doses, but they're deciding on lockdowns because of the infection rate, which doesn't matter. The BBC saying there was 50,000 deaths, 380,000 infections. There's probably 3 million infections. So what? They're chasing their tail all the time. Another guy, Professor Carl Sikora, head of Buckingham University Medical School and the medical director of Rutherford Health, is among those who have signed the Great Barrington Declaration. But that is really worth getting to grips with. It's a new declaration, but it's a very good template of what's wrong with the COVID government, COVID plan. It should be on everybody's walls, nailed up, that this is what is going on. Another reference to BBC Media Action. This is a Foreign Office operation around the world where they're soft power going in and training journalists in third world countries to be provocateurs, basically. And the same British government has removed 1.3 million COVID-19 tests from official England figures due to alleged double counting. Oh, really? Oh, surprise, surprise. And we may get to the story later on. John White had said way back in September before the election debacle, he said, "No, the Supreme Court will not save us." And I take a lot of recommendations from John Whitehead. He's an outstanding. He's a constitutional lawyer who's been through the Supreme Court many, many times with many, many cases. But he is laying it out very, very clearly about how it could go. This is before the Trump election. But he said he finds the Supreme Court very, very incompetent on so many levels. But if we take a respite next week, do the story on 5G. And that's the thing that they're targeting people in Britain, the GCHQ and all the government agencies, to shut up and don't talk about 5G. And they're unfortunate children who show up with horrendous disorders and red blotches on their skin, and they're calling it Kawasaki disease. That is a 5G attack where the children got in the way of a beam wherever they're living. A 5G transmission, right? But attack on multiple levels. A year ago, I've been doing this program for 5 years. 4 years ago, I would say we're overloaded to the gunnels with attacks. This is unbelievable, this COVID. It multiplies everything by 100, really. It is hard to believe. Bar a war, I think it would do as much damage. But this is massive war attack on people on so, so many levels. But again, we have more whistleblowers coming out and they are being supported by the public, etc. The courage of a whistleblower is enormous. And people need to band together and get numerous organizations together and speak out and not be made an example of by these government agencies. That's always the way that the propaganda deluge comes down on top of you in so many ways. But again, the disgusting failure of journalism, I've never seen it so bad. It's gargantuan. And the way the British press copy verbatim of Joe Biden, he does not have president-elect status. Nobody will point that out. And being congratulated by Boris Johnson, I mean, Trump wins two in this, I don't know how Johnson can go and visit Trump and visit the White House. I think you'd get a cool reception. But they're so gullible, these people. But there again, we're drawing from a well of third-rate, scummy, compromised people in all the politicians around the world. They're absolute scum. And they have no interest in the ordinary people. They're on the corporate agenda. Corporate fascism, government and corporations joining up together. And Big Pharma having total immunity from prosecution on these vaccines. And they're saying, oh, we'll have them by Christmas. Oh, you're not. Well, one person pointed out during the week, or many people pointed out, that the normal timescale for vaccine development is 9 years. And then it has shocking side effects, et cetera, et cetera. And again, not to forget Bill Gates, who bought himself in with his billions into the vaccine industry and now sees him as the leader of the pack, calls 120,000 young girls in India to be paralyzed from a vaccine that went wrong, right? And we're not allowed to talk about that, right? Whoa, this is total tyranny, absolute total tyranny. It doesn't have another name. We're going to a break, no? Hello? What time are we at? 5:21? No? Okay.
Regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting Truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Just what BBC Media Action is really doing, and they go over it here. And once you see who's funding it, you have to say, oh my God, this is shocking, this is propaganda. It's a foreign office too. And as I say, there's a woman, Jukari Ratcliffe, God help her, and her child, she's in prison, her child, or without her mother. Because she's Iranian, she went to visit her family there, and she was arrested as a spy. Right, and Boris Johnson got up in the House of Commons during the debacle where they failed to get her out of Iran, get her released, and said, oh, she was teaching journalism. You stupid moron. She was inveigled into getting involved with BBC Media Action, and that's what downed her, etc. But there's two or three versions of this organization. But just to continue with Brian Gerrish's piece, as with the political charity Common Purpose, BBC Media Action quickly seeks to justify its actions as benevolent. We are a charity, and therefore we must be good. Let's look at the lies. Claiming to be legally, financially, and operationally independent of the BBC, Media Action was actually funded by the BBC to the tune of $840,000 in 2012 and uses BBC pension funds, etc. I want them to get down to the point. Media Action builds on fundamental values of the BBC and claims that accuracy, trust, and reliability among those 500 victims of the BBC paedophile Jimmy Savile suggested otherwise. A cheap shot. So I missed a line there. The majority of the 15 BBC Media Action board members are nominated by the BBC, and Peter Horrocks, director of the BBC World Service Group, is chair of the trustees. He is independent, of course, and he directs 22,500 journalists and support staff embedded in 113 countries, a vast propaganda machine of some, you could call it Foreign Office soft power, but it's quite lethal in the disinformation it puts out, and is absolutely involved in the fake news area industry. According to MediaAction, they operate 100 researchers providing data evaluation and insights in 24 countries. They surveyed 60,000 people in 11 countries in Africa, Asia, and Middle East to inform our health governance and reliance projects. The immediate question is, what project and what are they for? At this point, we highlighted that MediaAction boasts its part in projects funded by the Department of International Development. Okay, Britain gives them $3 billion away in foreign aid every year, and that money is wasted in most cases, given to despotic governments, including India, which is a nuclear power. I mean, well, come on. Consider that the BBC MediaAction is also funded by the Foreign Commonwealth Office as part of the Arab Partnership Peace Fund, formed as a result of the Arab Spring unrest. MediaAction is used here to improve opportunities for political, social, and economic participation. We ask again, a charity or a British government at work? It's a Foreign Office tool. BBC MediaAction self-praise continues. Our work is valued by the development community and the media organization. And the money they're pouring into this is absolutely shocking. It's a very, very long article. Can't deal with it today. But, wow, another part of the thing, and that you may be sure that organization is putting out your propaganda about the how well the government are handling the COVID disaster. Yeah? The COVID is the COVID, but the handling of it is the disaster. And they said, we read that one, the government had to change the figures by 1.3 million of the COVID diseases. Wow. But John Whitehead is saying here, justice sleeps and we the people suffer. No, the US Supreme Court will not save us. And he said, the Constitution is not neutral. It is not designed to take the government off the backs of the people. Justice William Douglas. He starts the article by saying, John Whitehead, it doesn't matter which party you gets to pick the replacement to fill Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat on the U.S. Supreme Court. The battle that is gearing up right now is yet more distraction and spin to keep us oblivious to the steady encroachment on our rights by the architects of the American police state. Americans can no longer rely on the courts to mete out justice. That was proven in Pennsylvania, that's for sure. Although the courts were established to serve the courts of justice, what we have been saddled with instead is the courts of order. This is true at all levels of the judiciary, but especially in the highest court in the land, the U.S. Supreme Court, which is seemingly more concerned with establishing order and protecting government interests than with upholding the rights of the people enshrined in the U.S. Constitution. As a result, the police and other government agents have been generally empowered to probe, poke, pinch, and taser, search, seize, strip, and generally manhandle anyone who they see fit in almost any circumstances, all with the general blessing of the courts. Police thuggery rarely do the concerns of the populace prevail. When presented with an opportunity to loosen the government noose that keeps getting clinched tighter and tighter around the necks of American people, what does the current Supreme Court do? It ducks, prevaricates, remains silent, speaks to the narrowest possible concern. And again, I say to people, remind people, John Whitehead has taken many, many, he's a constitutional lawyer, taken many Supreme Court cases. He should know. More often than not, it gives the government and its corporate sponsors the benefit of the doubt, which leaves we the people hanging by a thread. Rarely do the judges of the U.S. Supreme Court preoccupied with their personal politics, cocooned in a world of privilege partial to those with power, money, and influence, and narrowly focused on a shrinking docket. The court accepts an average of 80 cases out of 8,000 every year, venture beyond their refined comfort zones. 8,000 cases pitched
by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review,
but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Disruption there. I missed a break, and we had technical problems. Our end. I'll explain actually why. I stood up with the headphones on to go to the loo, and it ripped out. And it's hard to get reconnected during a program due to the programming and Windows type of Windows thing I'm on, etc., etc. So that was my fault. Okay, I was reading through John Whitehead's saying the Supreme Court won't save us. That's looking pretty bad. And he's outlining how they have ducked and dived in so many cases. But I wonder, will one justice make a difference? Amy Coney Barrett is supposed to be the best. The one I regard as highly suspect is Kavanaugh. The Chief Justice, he's written off, he's compromised. We shall see. The cases the Supreme Court refuses to hear, allowing their lower court judgments to stand, are almost as critical as the ones they rule on. Some of these cases have delivered devastating blows to the lives and rights enshrined in the Constitution. By remaining silent, the court has affirmed that legally owning a firearm is enough to justify a no-knock raid by police. The military can arrest and detain any American citizen. Students can be subject to random lockdowns and mass searches at school, and police officers who don't know their actions violate the law aren't generally guilty of breaking the law. Whoa. And he says, you think you've got rights? Think again.
all those freedoms we cherish, the ones enshrined in the Constitution, the ones that affirm our right to free speech and assembly and due process, privacy, bodily integrity, and the right to have police seizure of property without our seizure of our property without a warranty, or search and detain us without cause, amount to nothing when the government and its agent are allowed to disregard these prohibitions in government overreach at will. Sure, there's endless evidence of that. We've read them out here on this program many, many times. This is the grim reality of life in the American police state. In fact, our so-called rights have been reduced to technicalities in the face of government ongoing power grabs. You know, there's been no law reform in America for about 100 years more. In the police state being erected around us, the police can probe, poke, pinch, teaser, search, seize, and strip, and generally manhandle anyone they see fit in almost any circumstance, all with the general blessing of the courts. This is what one would call a slow death by a thousand cuts. Only if the Fourth Amendment being inexorably bled to death by the very institution that is supposed to be protecting it, the Supreme Court. Remember, it was a unanimous Supreme Court which determined that police officers may use drug-sniffing dogs to conduct warrantless searches on cars during routine traffic stops. The same court gave police the green light to taser defenseless motorists, strip search non-violent suspects arrested for minor incidents, and break down people's front doors without evidence that they have done anything wrong. Make no mistake, this is what constitutes the law and order in this American police state. These are the hallmarks of an emerging American police state where police officers no longer mere servants of the public entrusted with keeping the peace are a part of the elite ruling class, dependent on keeping the masses corralled, under control, and treated like suspects and enemies rather than citizens. Whether the police officers breaking through people's front doors and shooting them dead in their homes, strip-searching motorists on the side of the road, in the police state such as ours, these instances of abuse are not condemned by the government. Rather, they are continually violated by a judicial system that kowtows to every police demand, no matter how unjust, no matter how in opposition to the Constitution. The system is rigged. Because the system is rigged, and the U.S. Supreme Court, the so-called People's Court, has exchanged its appointed role as gatekeeper of justice for its new role as maintainer of the status quo, the police state will keep winning and we, the people, will keep losing. Refusing to accept any of the eight or so qualified immunity cases before it's this past term that strove to hold police accountability for official misconduct, the Supreme Court delivered a chilling reminder that in the American police state, we the people are at the mercy of law enforcement officers who have almost absolute discretion to decide who is a threat, what constitutes resistance, and how harshly they can deal with the citizens they were appointed to serve and protect. This is how qualified immunity keeps the police state in power. Lawyers tend to offer a lot of complicated, convoluted explanations for the doctrine of qualified immunity, which was intended to insulate government officials from frivolous lawsuits. But the real purpose of qualified immunity is to rig the system, ensure that abusive agents of the government almost always win, and the victims of government abuse always lose. How else do you explain a doctrine that requires the victim of police violence to prove that their abusers knew their behavior was illegal because it had been deemed so in nearly identical case at some prior time? That's case law. It's a setup for failure. A review of critical court rulings over the past several decades include rulings affirming qualified immunity protections for government agents in the U.S. Supreme Court, revealed a startling and steady trend towards police state ruling by an institution concerned more with establishing order, protecting ruling class, and insulating government agents from changes of wrongdoing than the upholding of rights enshrined in the Constitution. Indeed, as Reuters reports, qualified immunity has been a nearly fail-safe tool to let police brutality go unpunished and deny victims their constitutional rights. Worse, as Reuters concluded, the Supreme Court has built unqualified immunity into an often insurmountable police defense by intervening in cases mostly to favor the police. For those in need of a reminder, all the ways in which the Supreme Court has made us sitting ducks at the mercy of the American people, let me offer the following. As a result of court rulings in recent years, police can claim qualified immunity for warrantless searches. Police can claim qualified immunity for warrantless searches for excessive force against protesters, shooting a mentally impaired person, using lethal force in car chases, arrest and search without reasonable suspicion, stop cars on anonymous tips, can forcibly take your DNA, can use your fear of for life rationale as an excuse for shooting an unarmed individual. Can use the fear for my life, in brackets, rationale as an excuse for shooting an armed individual. Police have free rein to use drug-sniffing dogs in the search warrants on leashes. These dogs are also off the hook for wrongdoing. Subject Americans to strip searches, can break into homes without a warrant, can knock and talk tactics as a means of sidestepping the Fourth Amendment, carry out no-knock raids if they believe announcing themselves would be dangerous, and it goes on and on and on and on. To sum it up, we are dealing with a nationwide epidemic of court-sanctioned violence, police violence carried out with impunity against the individuals posing little or no threat to in this way, the justice of the United States Supreme Court, through their deference to police power, preference and for security over freedom, and an evisceration of our most basic rights for the sake of order and expediency, have become the architecture of the American police state. The architect of the American police state. So where does this leave us? For those deluded enough to believe that they're living in the American dream, where the government represents the people, where the people are equal in the eyes of the law, where the courts are arbiters of justice, where the police are keepers of the peace, and where law is applied equally as a means of protecting the rights of people, it's time to wake up. We no longer have a representative government or a rule of law or justice. Liberty has fallen to legalism, freedom has fallen to fascism, justice has become jaded, jaundiced, and just plain unjust. And to the American dream of freedom and opportunity has turned into a living nightmare. Last few paragraphs. Given the turbulence of our age and its police outreach, military training drills on American soil, domestic surveillance, SWAT team raids, asset forfeiture, wrongful convictions, profit-driven prisons, and corporate corruption, the need for a guardian of the people's rights has never been greater, and that is not the Supreme Court, that's what he's really saying. Yet, as I make clear in my book, Battlefield America, The War on the American People, neither the president nor the legislator nor the courts will save us from the police state that holds us in its clutches. So we can waste our strength over the next few weeks and months raging over the makeup of the Supreme Court, or we can stand united against a tyrant in our midst. After all, the president, the legislator, and the courts are all on the same payroll, the government payroll. They are the police state. And that was John Whitehead, September 2019, 2000-word piece of his. Very, very good. Excellent. Absolutely. Just looking for one of the other pieces we're going to play today regarding all of this. They're very long pieces. We'll wait till the bottom of the hour and we'll see which one we've got to play. That's one of the finest things he has written, John Whitehead. And we're heading to a key decision by the Supreme Court, supposedly, on this entire election fraud, right? So it's the last stand of America, really. It really is. This is the last stand. And we're supposed to stand by and let the courts decide. Well, the proven courts the Supreme Court of the state of Pennsylvania broke the law blatantly and made law when they're not, they cannot make law. They just cannot make law, and et cetera. That was allowed to go ahead. But, where do we go? There's endless pieces on it here. But, and they're saying, and I'll quote briefly through this, it's carrying on what we did before. Bombshell, the 2020 election took place under a Trump-declared national emergency that set the election day trap for the unauthorized accessing of elections. Now, this is not Pechenik's thing about the watermarked ballot paper. This is about Trump made an executive order in 2018, which comes into effect regarding this. And I'm trying to get down, yeah. The story begins with a little-known executive order signed into existence on September 12, 2018, by President Donald J. Trump. That order, available at White House government, is entitled Executive Order on Imposing Certain Sanctions on the event, in the Event of Foreign Interference in the United States Election. And what is about it's going after big tech, Google, Facebook, and Silicon Valley. In that executive order, which almost no one has covered since the day it was signed, President Trump declares a national emergency. And is still in effect. That emergency is still in play today, and the 2020 election was conducted under the state of emergency, which is a crucial point to understand what's coming next. Unauthorized accessing of election infrastructure. In the executive order, the president will also state that people and organizations located in part outside the United States and known to be able to interfere or undermine public confidence, that's this in effect Dominion software from Canada, by the way, public confidence in the United States elections, including through the unauthorized access of election and campaign infrastructure, or the covert distribution of propaganda in disinformation. If you're starting to see how this ties to CNN, the New York Times, the Washington Post, MSNBC, you're not alone. All those organizations, as you'll soon see, have been caught under this emergency declaration of foreign interference in U.S. elections, aided by complicit corporations on U.S. soil. The executive order further states that this foreign interference in U.S. elections constitutes an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security and foreign policy of the United States. Why is this relevant to anyone? We're seeing right now with the massive election fraud carried out by the Democrats and the deep state, because Dominion Voting Systems is a Canadian company and SITE is run out of Spain, S-C-Y-T-L. That's the other software involved. That's right. Dominion is a foreign-owned company which makes Dominion-based election theft a foreign interference issue. Very good, very good. I wonder if Giuliani working on that. Dominion is a Canadian cell site from Spain, and sites from Spain both represent foreign interference. So header, okay. Another voting machine company called SITE, also widely used in the U.S. election, is located in Spain. As Great Game India reports. Days after it was revealed that in 2020 the 2020 U.S. election were rigged by Canadian Crown agent Dominion Voting through a so-called glitch, now Great Games India has found involvement in another dubious foreign company and the U.S. election meddling. The votes cast by Americans were counted by a bankrupt Spanish company, SITE, in Spain. Like Dominion Voting System, SITE has long history of election fraud in various nations, including injecting backdoors into its election software. The issue has prompted experts to question why the sensitive job of counting votes was outsourced to a foreign company. How could a bankrupt Spanish company count American votes in Spain due to such widespread fraud? The chairman of the U.S. Federal Elections Commission, Trey Trainer, believes that the 2020 U.S. presidential election is illegitimate. Sure is. What people are missing in all of this is that Trump's 2018 executive order gives the DOJ the power, the Department of Justice, the power to seize all assets of individuals and companies that were complicit in aiding covering up this foreign interference in U.S. election. The national emergency order specifically calls for seizure of all assets of entities that have directly or indirectly engaged in sponsored, concealed, or otherwise been complicit in foreign interference in the United States elections. Okay. That would, of course, have to include practically every CNN fake news anchor, every big tech CEO, every fake news journalist from NBC and the New York Times. Yeah, absolutely. Load them up. They were all complicit in gaslighting the American and covering up the massive vote election fraud. You want to hear the music? Okay. Right, we're going to a break, and we'll be back to finish up with you.
After about a month of Extendivite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight, and I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extend Over.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.